Hi, and welcome to the In the Cortex podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Paloma Garcia.
And I am Danny Perricone.
And we're the founders of In the Cortex, an online community with programs that show people the tools that they need to change their lives through brain reorganization. No medication, just movement.
When you get your brain out of survival mode and regulate your nervous system, you start to live in the fun, logical part of the brain, the cortex. Subscribe today and learn how to live your best in the cortex life. And now, on to today's episode.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the In the Cortex podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little bit of a reflection, a little bit of an opinion piece, so to speak, because Danny and I have been looking into this today, the amount of kids that are using screens and teenagers that are using screens and what it's doing to their brain. So just to kind of set the scene, we're not going to go through any of like the stats. I mean, we might mention a couple, but we're not really going to go into all the science and all that stuff because we've listened to this amazing, amazing speaker. His name is Jonathan Haidt. He just wrote a book about this. And so he's the guy that has all the science. And so we'll leave that to him. But it just like brought up a lot of stuff for us, especially because of what we do and because of the effect we see in kids in screens. And like, you know, when we started doing this, Danny, like not that many kids had screens that available to them. Like it wasn't as common for every kid to have their own iPad and for every, you know, teenager to get, or for young teenagers, I guess, preteens to get phones at 10 years old. You know, I mean, it was what, 13, 14 years ago when we started doing this and we met, and it just was a different reality. And so everything is just changing so quickly. And this is just something that obviously we think about a lot. And the fact that society is advancing so much quicker than our brains and bodies are. And so I don't have kids, as all of you know, but Danny has two little cutie patooties. And so we just like, of course, this is a huge topic of interest. So I'm kind of interview you a little bit, Danny. And just kind of like get a little bit of your perspective on all this stuff, you know, because I know it brought up a lot for you when you were listening to the episode, right?
Mm-hmm. It certainly did. And I think where I'm at is, because Paloma and I talk about this a lot, it's 2024. Like we can't deny that technology is a part of our everyday life. But there is an important need to strike a balance with what can we invite into our homes and do we allow it to have power over our everyday life? And I can be honest, like I will get into that social media trap and I will find myself like, oh my gosh, should I just doom scroll for an hour, 2 hours? Like, why did I do that?
Yes.
And I think it's such like a thing that these devices, and that's what's in the podcast, are designed to trap us, right? And we have developed mature brains. Now let's look at the brain of anyone who's under the age of like 29. Now they're saying if you're under 29, your brain's not fully developed. And obviously you can't wait until you're 29 before you make big life decisions these days. But we need to understand that if I'm 39 and I have a hard time putting a device down and I'm supposed to like have all the tools, right? What is it looking like for our kids? And so we're just trying to help, you know, find that middle balance, happy medium of how do we embrace the world today without being, you know, out on a mountain by yourselves and you have no technology at all. Like, obviously, a lot of us would like to do that, but we also like to stay connected. And so how do you find the balance of it? And I can just share from my experience of what I do at home with my kids. And we do have screens at our house. We don't vilify them all the time. My kids know that it's like eating sugar. You need to balance it. And so that's what this discussion's going to be, is just kind of how do we figure out a cortex way to handle all the science?
Yes, exactly. So yeah. Your kids are 5 and 8 and gosh. I'm curious, how do you talk about it with them? Like, of course you have a phone, right? You have a computer, you have an iPad, there's a TV in the house, like all those things, right? So how do you, because I feel like a lot of parents feel like, or I guess I would feel like, well, it's kind of mean to be like, you don't get to use it, but I use it all day long. You know what I mean? And of course, like we explained to them, like my brain is more developed because I'm older, but how have you talked about that with your kids? Because we know kids love screens. I mean, most kids like really, really love them.
That's a great question. And I think that the conversation has changed as I learn more and as I navigate it, you know, as my kids get older too. I swear my daughter came out of the womb like just knowing how to operate a device. Like it really actually was terrifying. I'm like, this generation seems like they can just like swipe intuitively, like what's going on? And I also am in the camp of it just not being about the screen. It's also the effect on the whole body, right? So I've always was like swatting devices out of their hands. I'm like, I don't want you to get like any extra EMFs or anything else going on with it. But with my son, he's so good at giving me like back little, you know, if I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't think you should watch it. He's like, well, you're on your phone all the time. And I'm like, ooh, touche. Good point.
Just
I am.
Yeah.
I said, but here's the deal. Here's the difference. I'm an adult. And I run my business through all of these things. So the conversation I have with my son, really, because he's very aware and he loves screens way more than my daughter does. Axel can turn into like that zombie kid. Like you turn on a screen and he just like zones out and just stares and then nothing in the world exists. And he loves Minecraft. He loves video games and he could watch TV episode after episode. And the crazy part is like how much the streaming, like you said, how much has changed. We didn't grow up with that constant stream of just like never having to stop for a commercial, never having to stop for anything.
And this guy talks about it in the podcast where he's like, millennials had a different, I think we're the last generation that had a different relationship with technology, right?
And it's so interesting. So with Axel, I just talk about how, you know, for my job, I need to be on tech. I need to be on my phone. I need to be on the computer. And I tell him all the time, I was like, some parents go away to an office. My office is with me all the time on my device. And it's, I'm answering emails. I'm answering Instagram messages. We're on calls. Like it's just constant. And so when you are a business owner, it's different. There's less boundaries and I am working on my boundaries. But I told him, I was like, would you rather me be around and like having my phone or would you rather me be in an office? And then you don't see me as much. And, you know, and so we have conversations like that just to give them a taste of like what other people do and how it looks. And I say, but you are right. I am on my phone too much and I should get off of it more. Thank you for that feedback. And I think the number one thing is really being honest with yourself as a parent. I see more times than not, and this is not to make people feel bad, but I just don't think we have awareness. How many times I go out to restaurants or places and people are just on their phones mindlessly, like ignoring their kids. And then when I'm at home and my dad will just be on his phone mindlessly, like we just all have such a tendency just to have this device of just like sitting and giving us information and we can't stop. It's the dopamine is just more.
Exactly. It's the dopamine. And if you have a disorganized brain, you already have that dopamine imbalance, right? Especially if you're somebody that has more like ADHD tendencies. Then you already have that. So you're going to be more prone to becoming addicted to that. And it truly is an addiction.
It is. It is. It's totally an escape for sure. And so I think for our conversation at home too, is we really talk about the boundaries with it as well. And since I understand how the brain works, we always talk about, okay, before I turn on the TV, because once you turn that TV on, you've lost your audience. They're done, right? So we talk about all the parameters before we do it. Okay, before you go watch a show, what's going to happen when the show's over? How are you going to handle turning it off? And I give them examples. Are you going to have a meltdown and say, no, I need more? Or are you going to say, okay, mom? And so we talk about it. We role play it. And we've done this enough that when I can go up to my son, I'm like, hey, bud, it's time to turn it off. He just says, okay, and turns it off. Yep. Sometimes he'll be like, mom, there's 2 minutes left. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, so like we have that communication and it's non-emotional. And I think he's done a really good job of understanding how I perceive screens. I also am not someone who sits and watches TV. I am on my phone. So I don't know if that plays a big role in it because I know a lot of families at home at nighttime will just turn on the TV and that's their thing, but I've never been a person who believed in TVs in a bedroom because I don't think that's great for sleep. So we've never had that. But my parents certainly do. Axel and Siggy's dad has TVs. They play when they're with their dad. I already know that they're getting a massive amount of screen time in, and they're clocking a lot of hours. And I'll know when my son has done more than not. He'll come home more in like a haze and he'll just want to talk about every video game he played. And I was like, well, it's very insightful how much you've been on a screen. So I don't know. I think for me, I don't have a charge with it anymore. I feel like I'm at peace with it. And I think that's what talking to you too is, you know, it's 2024. You can't hide your kids from technology. They need to know how to use it.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of like the messaging that's out there that's like really scary for parents and for kids, right? Where they're like, don't ever get your kid on a screen. But and like, yeah, that's why, again, I loved this episode of the yeah, podcast that we're going to obviously put in the show notes.
Yes.
Because he's like, you have to find a balance because like you and I are saying, right? And so I think a lot of people that talk about this stuff online have a tendency to really be very kind of like fear mongering
yeah,
with parents. And that's not fair because we don't live in a reality where it's easy to escape them. So if it's not with you, it's going to be at school. It's going to be with a friend. It's going to be with the dad, right? Like they're always going to have access to that. So it's also about, I think, being honest with like, this is what it does to your brain and like helping them tune into their bodies. And I think that's kind of like a lot of what we talk about in our program is like the parent is teaching the child how to do all of these functions that now we as adults do. And a lot of us had to figure out how to do it on our own. And a lot of us didn't figure it out until very late in life, AKA me, in terms of like checking in with your body, taking care of your body, knowing your rhythms, knowing, you know, all these things that that some people, you know, are better at, some people, you know, have a little bit more trouble with. But as a parent, that's another thing that you get to teach your kids, right? It's like that haze that he comes back in, being like, hey, do you notice, how do you feel right now? Okay, now let's think about how you feel tomorrow after you've been outside, you really haven't looked at screens, blah, blah, blah. And like helping them understand that because kids, there's two different sides, right? One is the kids and the side of the kid, I should say, that is like candy, dopamine, screens, all the things that are fast, impulse, which is normal because once again, it's absolutely developmentally appropriate to not have that much impulse control at certain ages, right? Like again, the brain doesn't finish developing until we're 26 or 29, depending on which neuroscientist you ask. And so it's totally natural. But then there's other side of kids where they really are absorbing all these different things about what you're teaching them and what is good for them and what they like and what they don't love and what works with their own body. And so if you help them, they might not be mentioned in the short term. And that's where I think a lot of people might get frustrated being like, I told them it's not good for their brain, but they're still doing it. And it's like, well, so are we.
Right, we know it's bad for
our brain. We're scrolly McScrollers in over there, you know?
Or we're drinking alcohol or eating that food and we know it's not good, but we keep doing it. And
exactly. I think that's about helping them understand that balance too.
Yes.
And being like, you're not always going to be perfect because that doesn't exist. It's just about finding, why do I do the screens and the candies and the whatever, and do I step back, right? And if they can learn what that feels like, that balance at a young age, oh my gosh, I mean, you're setting them for an amazing success and you know, as they grow older.
And it depends on the child, because as you were talking, I'm like, me and Axel can have those really deep conversations. And he's like, yeah, Mom, I know, it just scrambles my brain. And we have really, I mean, he is 3 years older than Siggy and he has really insightful comments and he's just able to see things so differently. And he's just a really tender guy. And so I think his personality, he can see it and he really empathizes with others and he has a lot of compassion. So I feel like for him, he can get that. And I mean, this has been his whole life. Like we've done it. And as I saw that meme that came through, as we're talking about social media, I learn a lot from social media. I love it.
Me too.
From that space of, you know, you learn, your firstborn like teaches you how to become a parent basically. And then your secondborn gets to like reap the benefits of you being a better parent and you grow with your first, like you really do grow together. And I feel Axel and I have done that together. He's seen me in my extremes of dysregulation. He's seen me go from one side of the pendulum to the other. And he's just like learning and we talk about it. And I think that's something I never had as a kid. Was just having open dialogue constantly. Like I remember asking questions and then just being shut down and be like, just cause I said so, right? And for me being a curious child, I was like, gosh, I want my kids to ask questions and know why. And so when you were talking, I was also thinking about the subconscious. Why do kids, when they get to a certain age in middle school, really, when they start to see all the other kids get it, right? And they're like, oh, I want one now too, because otherwise I'll be left out.
Yeah.
And so then it's hitting those subconscious beliefs of like, I'm not enough, or, you know, you start to really create a worldview from just that really microscopic space of, I don't have this one thing and it's giving me so much value and worth, because kids are like, oh, I have a phone now. And I just have different, first of all, this is where your parenting, you get to trust your values and you get to figure out what matters to you. And I have found a community that we're all pretty like-minded. And so it's actually a really amazing conversation I'd like to have with these moms that I'm and dads that we're doing pods with. And like, hey, how are we going to tackle when cell phones and these technology things come on? Because if one kid gets it, it is going to change the dynamic of the rest of them. So it's a really important conversation to have. Like, how do we all view this? Because there's things that some families do that I'm like, oh, that's not in alignment with my values. I don't like the way that felt. And then there's things I do that's not in alignment with their values. So you can see as we're in a community, we're always crashing up against our own subconscious beliefs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and me just like sharing like the next car I want. And you're like, no way. And I'm like, but I love it. And it means so much to me. And that's what I want. And so I think this is where it really boils down to then really helping your kids from the inside out understand what are important values and worth that they need to have within them so they don't crave the things that everybody else has just because everybody else has it.
Yes.
And teaching new ways of staying connected and doing things. Because I mean, even in that podcast, he said it's not necessarily like bad that they're on screens per se. He was really nailing on social media.
The social media aspect. Yeah.
Talking about when kids go home and play video games, they don't just sit around the same console anymore. They all have to go to their own computer. So they're isolating. So it's not like we can villainize like just video games. It's how they're being played. And this is where we really need to look at, well, what do we want for your own child? And
yeah,
there's so many different ways to look at it. And I think that's the important part here. And that's what we're trying to bring in through our view is that you really have to get in touch with what you value. What need is it make meeting? And then how are you going to navigate that and having a conversation with your kid?
Well, and I think what I really liked about his perception is he's very optimistic. He's like, I'm not a cynic at all. He's like, I'm actually anti-cynicism, right? And I was like, that's cool. I identify with that too, because what's cynicism going to do for you, first of all?
And despair. Yeah.
Despair. And it's just like being able to see that there is so much hope. And like the fact that he's interviewing teenagers who are saying they wish TikTok was never invented. Right. And you're like, crazy. Whoa, I never thought they would have said that. Right. But that's why, is because they know what it's doing to them. And so that's the other side of the coin, right? It's like, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, is like, you, yes, it's creating these unrealistic standards and this lack of socialization. But the other part is that we really do have so much more awareness of mental health, so much more communication about it, so much more openness about it. And so these kids know, like when they get to a certain age, they actually know exactly what it's doing to their brain. There's like scientists that are on TikTok and are showing them what the dopamine is doing and what the, so that's the other side of it, right? And like, humans inherently want to feel good. They want to be the best version of this. We want to be the best version of ourselves, right? That's who we are. And so I think that's kind of like that other side where he talks about like, yeah, there is a way to do it. That's not going to continue to isolate us and continue to kind of like just turn us into, you know, Wall-E, where like at the end, they're like, just like in these like floating pods and they don't look at each other. They just have a screen in their face. Like that's terrifying. Right. And I do think that, you know, again, we've talked about this so many times, but there is like a kind of like a thought revolution that's coming, and more and more and more people are like, I'm not okay with this kind of living. Right. And so 100%. I think that's a cool part of like also being able to empower kids from this age and like help them understand, because at a certain age, it is actually very developmentally appropriate to start to compare yourself to your peers and to want what the other kids have and to want to belong. Right. That's who's the other guy that had a really good podcast about that? Danny, you remember,
is it Gordon Neufeld, like attachment? Yes. Yeah. Dr. Gordon Neufeld.
He talks about like all the different stages of the human, right? And so there is a stage where all you want is to belong. You do not want to be different, right? And then later on, you want to be different because you're like, okay, it is kind of cool to have more attention, right? And very few, you know, it's definitely the minority that are okay being different and standing out at a young age, right? And like, I remember I went through that. Like, I remember I everything that I wanted, like I wanted to be whatever was like the cool, like girl on Disney Channel. You know what I mean? Right. We've all been there. And so it's also finding like what kind of like really helping them align with their values at that age, at that preteen and teenager age, where it's like, it's okay to want those things, but it's also okay to, but it's also important to understand that you, first of all, can't always have everything you want. And second of all, that you like, why do you want that? Right. Like, why did I want to be blonde with braces? Like, I don't know. I don't Lizzie McGuire. I don't know. Like something like that. Like,
I did too.
Genuinely. I wanted them more than anything in the world.
Yeah. But that's what's so true is like, and Dr. Gordon Neufeld says you need to be attached, securely attached to your parents before you had, because that is what you're attaching. And what happens is we have so many insecure relationships with child and parent that then they attach to their friends.
Yes.
And then can you, it's like the blind leading the blind.
That's
and
it.
that's
exactly.
the problem is that they're attaching to the wrong thing because we want to belong. And then it's the, because then that spirals into the bullying and all the other stuff that comes with phones. And I think my perspective is just be securely attached to your parent. Check the way it makes you feel. Like, how does it feel when another kid has something that you want? Because if you can help a child boil that down to, then I feel like I'm not enough, or I feel like I'm not good enough, you help them through a reconnect, feel that feeling. And then they go, actually, I don't know if I actually need that to make myself feel better. But you're right. Like, we do, it's okay to want and crave things. Right. But when it overtakes and it becomes obsessive and it's the only thing you can think about, and that's how then you see yourself in society, that's where the problem lies.
Well, because also that's going to spark fear, right?
Well,
so when
exactly.
you when you're that one kid that doesn't have that one thing, and you go into school and you're like, oh, I'm so scared they're going to bully me, everybody's going to make fun of me, right? And so that's where that secure attachment comes in. That's exactly what it is. Like, listen, I don't have it. Do I wish I did sometimes? Sure.
Of course.
But I'm going to use yours today at school, and then I'm going to go home and I'm not going to have it. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Because we're never going to control everything about kids, right? Like, when you're not with them, they might use their friend's phone, right? That's
100%.
Just the reality of it. But that's where you kind of are, if you're able to give them that safe attachment, that safe space at home, they're also able to talk about that. Like, hey, today I was at school and they were making fun of this other kid for not having whatever, and I don't have it either. So now I'm scared that they're going to make fun of me. So then you talk them through it and you go through all of those feelings and you make them know that no matter what anybody else says, they are safe with you and they are valuable and they are loved and all of these things that we want them to feel, right?
So that way they walk in knowing that that device isn't going to give me that thing that I deeply was actually craving. And
yeah,
that's
because I
the
already have
goal,
it.
right? And I already have it within me. So I don't need to seek out the external. And that's what we do, even adults, right? Because the guy on the podcast, he was like, I'd love to actually study what the phones are doing to the adult brain, right? Because think about all the people you know who put their value and worth on the things that they have and how they look and all that, right? In today's world, it's out of control. And then when you're that person who goes out and buys all those things and you get all those external validation, you then realize that that actually didn't make you feel better. And you're like, well, I actually am not any further along because you brought your mind with you the whole time. So when you actually start to reframe your mind and you actually start to look at what am I actually needing by getting this thing, then you start to realize you can give that to yourself first. And then you can go, just now you can be unattached to that thing. And I think that's exactly what I've been able to help Axel with, is we talk about his value and his worth and all the internal stuff so much that now he realizes he can turn on and off a device and it doesn't control him the same way. And that doesn't mean we're not going to have issues down the road, you know, of like him wanting to fight. But my kids never sneak off and try to watch a show without me. My daughter will take my phone. I will admit that. She will take a few pictures, but then I just stopped. I don't react to it, you know, and like, and she'll sometimes text Paloma, like when she learns about like the emojis that can talk, and you know, you're like, oh, Siggy's got your phone. And it's just like, oh, can I have it back? You know? And I don't have to, like, it's not this insane fight that goes on at home. And I feel like, and this is where we want to help parents, because oftentimes parents will get to that space of like, I am burnt out. I can't do one more thing. And then I'm turning to the screen to help me. And this is why we go, you got to regulate your nervous system. So that way, so that way when your kid starts to get, you know, in that space, you don't feel like you just turn to the phone to like give that crutch. And I was there. I did that. I totally know the feeling. And it's like you just need a break, and it's okay. It's like how we see meds, right? Like if you need out of quicksand and you really need a break, do it. Take it, right? That's your journey. But then figure out what you're going to start doing next to get off of that, because otherwise it just creates that cycle and then you never actually get through it. So that's what we're trying to help parents understand is, you know, if you turn to that dependence on it, then your kids will depend on it. If you learn the tools on how to get out of it and how to help yourself regulate, then use it and turn it off so it's not an abusive and addictive and toxic relationship with these devices.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also where the regulation comes in, right? Because you can be the kid that has all the positive subconscious beliefs and all the secure attachments. But if your brain's in survival mode, you're going to get into that school and see that bully and go, right? Total survival mode, fight or flight, feel completely attacked and go into that fear space. And, you know, fight, flight, whatever it is for each kid, right? 100%. And that's where, or when the dad or the mom says, no, you can't have your iPad tonight, same reaction, right? Life or death. And so that's where it always goes hand in hand. And I think that's why it works for your kids right now, because they do so much brain work and their brains really are very regulated. They're not perfect because, again, nobody's brain is.
They're human.
But these kids are super regulated compared to other kids that are their age, right? And so there are certain things that are developmentally and age appropriate, but there are certain things that are like still getting in the way for some other kids. And you can see the difference very clearly with kids that do the brain work versus the kids that don't, or kids that have that solid neurological foundation or they don't. Right. And that's just such a big thing. And that happens with adults too. You can tell the way somebody reacts to a life or death situation or to a not so life or death situation, right? When something happens, when you forgot the keys inside the car, or when you are, you know, missed the plane or whatever it is, like you can always tell how people are reacting in that kind of situation. And so it's really the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And so if you're listening to this as a parent and you're like, I'm trying to battle this whole thing with my kid with phones, just take a moment and pause right now and just examine your relationship with screens. Like, are you able to turn it off, put it down? Do you have an emotional charge? How does it feel when you get on social media and you see a friend post something that you didn't get invited to? Like, what's coming up for you? That's the first step, getting yourself into a really calm, regulated space. And then we start to help our kids. Just by helping 100%. You will help your kids. And it's one of our favorite things to watch. And every parent, they're like, wow, I calmed down. And then my kids calmed down. And then I stopped doing this. And then my kids stopped doing this. And it doesn't mean everything's going to be cured and solved and you're just never going to have anything. But you're going to start to really start seeing how much more your kids will help enhance your growth journey. And that's been my case, because I now sit with curiosity when my child has a meltdown. my favorite new line, I just have to share this because it's actually really funny. This morning, because my daughter's 5, she told me that I just lost 88 points in my goodness of being a mom. She goes, well, I just took down 88 points off of you of how good of a mom you are. And I was like, and I just laughed because I'm like, what 5-year-old puts that thought together?
Where did she come from?
And it's so funny because I'm just like, are you being graded? Like, where do you get your grades from, first of all? Because, exactly. I mean, she's in preschool now, so she's definitely learning a couple new things. But she's not walking home with like any marks on her papers and grades and whatnot. But I just think it's so funny because she really can see like when I don't give her something that she really desperately wants. And my boundary has stayed so good. I used to waver. I used to be like, oh, I can't do it yet. I'm like, I really want to follow through on this boundary, but it's really not, I'm not there yet. And I think a lot of parents know exactly what I'm talking about. Like you threaten to take away that screen and then you're like, but I actually need it for me because it's my break. So they feel that. They call your bluff out, right? Of they course. Know that you're going to cave. I was so there for so long until I did more deeper work on my shadow and my ego and like, what is it that's coming up for me? What need am I getting met? And I was like, oh, I need a break. That's why I say you can still have your screen. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, well, wait, if I'm so burnt out and exhausted, what part of my life do I need to change?
Yes.
And then I started just making little tiny tweaks. But the first thing always is doing my brain work. That will never, ever come off my plate. It is my go-to that keeps me in a really good space. And now I'm like, oh, I'm going to add this to my day. Now that I can, because my container has opened and I can hold more, I can now take on more things to keep it going. So that's our feedback. It's just like really, it's not like, let's just take all the devices out the window. Let's really look at what needs are getting met. by having these things.
Yeah, because the devices are going to be secondary to that always. The devices or the food or the dyes and the sugars and the this and the that, always going to be secondary, right?
Yeah.
Or for adults, you know, substances that we take, like that kind of stuff, like it's always going to be secondary to what the true need is. And once again, if sometimes you're like, I don't even care, I'm just going to do it, that's fine.
Do
as
it.
long as that's not your go-to every single day for the rest of your life, because then it's just going to become, you know, that's when it becomes a really toxic pattern.
Exactly. And Jonathan was saying in his book or on the podcast, he's like, if we just took away all the cell phones and locked them up during the day, we would see so many changes. I agree. I think we'd see some changes, but would we get to the root? Absolutely not. Like, there's still so much more to do. And because innately we're human and there's so much of our humanness that needs love and attention. And so many things have been passed down from generation to generation. And I'm so excited because of social media, we've become aware of all this cycle, you know, ancestral trauma and all the things that we've been passing down that now we're like, oh, this is a thing. And now we can start becoming aware of it. So it's really just being able to find the balance, but really ultimately getting to the root of what drives you to do what you're doing.
There you
and because I don't think, we're seeing an uptick. I think kids are just finding it. I mean, it's crazy to me. I think it's so funny because when I'm having technology problems, number one, you're way faster than me. I mean, you're a few years younger. But then, like, I'll go hang out with some young teenagers, and they're like, Danny, why don't you just push this button and makes it so much faster? I was like, oh, thank you for that troubleshooting. So they're so insightful. They could fix everything in seconds. And I'm like, so, you know, we do need to stay up with it because it is part of our future and just the balance.
Yeah, it's part of our reality. And it's here for a reason. You know, it's just like learning to understand it and balance it.
All the time.
So, okay. That was great. Thank you. So let's do the thing. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for listening today. Please subscribe to the pod and rate it and share it with all of your friends and family and anybody that you think would be interested in this. Follow us on social media. Our Instagram is inthecortex_US, TikTok in_the_cortex, Facebook inthecortexUS. If you're a Spanish speaker, our Instagram is inthecortex_ESP. I'm still, you know, I'm working on there. I'm getting there little by little, posting a little bit more. I might make a post today. Well. You never know. And please, you know, if you ever have any questions or anything, you can always DM us or send us an email. You can set up a free 15-minute call if you want to talk about something specific. Mm-hmm. We have that at the link in our bio and all of our social media platforms. And our website is inthecortex.com. And remember, if you use promo code BRAINIAC, you can get $10 off the very first payment of our program. And we're excited. We're happy to have so many people listening. We keep looking at our stats and they keep going up and up and up. So we love this. And thank you so much for being here. We really love having everybody here.
Thank you.
Bye.